Look at this. I got headphones on. I got a mic going. Baby.
If only people could see you now.
Hey, no video. We've gone through this before.
All right,
No
all right,
video.
all right. Welcome to This Commerce Life. This is a podcast aimed at small, medium entrepreneurs focused on commerce. I'm Phil, your host, and Kenny, your co-host, will join us as well. And we're going to talk to you about the world of retail and commerce and how things are changing in the world.
Kenny, what's going on?
Nothing. I'm consistent anyway.
Yeah.
Well, Kenny? You know, why do it right? Why go to the right meeting when I can go to the wrong meeting?
Wait. Why is there another meeting?
Well, I went to the 14th and it said something was already on or something. I'm thinking, what the hell,
oh,
man?
Oh, yeah, because we're too prepared. This
I don't
is
like
what happens when you're too
shit.
Prepared.
This is what happens. I don't like it.
Yeah. So I got to do introductions. So Kenny meet Lan, and Lan meet Kenny.
Hi, Kenny.
How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing very well. Very well. Sitting in the hotel room.
Oh.
In cold Calgary.
Ooh.
Really?
Oh, mamma mia. It's cold here.
How cold is it exactly?
Cold for me.
Okay.
I think it was this morning. I got off the plane and, you know, I'm in the airport doing phone calls and the guy was picking me up. He's there. So I come outside and I thought, holy shit, man, it's freezing. It was minus 14 and then wind chill minus 20.
What? In Calgary?
It's cold, man. I'm telling you. And then tomorrow's supposed to be plus 8.
Really? That's crazy.
I love this city.
I'm in a hotel room in Boston. But mine isn't anywhere close. Like I think it's like 10 degrees here right now. So it feels almost like summer.
Yeah. It ain't summer here. pretty definitively not summer here. Anywho, it is what it is.
I'm excited to. So for our listeners, we have a special guest on. We have my friend Lan on. I've known Lan, I guess I seem to be doing this. I think it's a symptom of age, of my age in particular. I seem to be looking around going, huh, I've known some people a very long time. I realized that I've known you quite a long time, which is kind of funny, but, I have known Lan quite a long time.
What's quite a long time?
I don't know.
Well, not if you're going to go down that path, you got to finish the path.
I think it's been about 18 years.
Yeah. Oh,
it is a long time.
Give or take. Yeah. Give or take. Yeah.
Can you still talk to him, Lynn?
She doesn't have a choice because her husband and my wife are cousins. So
oh,
your
you're
family.
My family.
So
by
she's
marriage.
Stuck with me.
Oh, you poor thing. Well, you know, you get that. It is what it is, I guess.
So Lan, you're kind of stuck in a bit of a partner spat because Kenny's mad because so this week I put out the podcast late and our benefactor,
and I get shit on.
Yeah, so our benefactor who loves us very much you know basically gave Kenny crap for not helping out.
I said my part was done. I helped. I was there when you recorded. I don't know how to do anything else.
So Linda, I love you. Just so you know, and you could never do wrong in my eyes.
Yeah,
so,
whatever. So. You're a suckle.
Okay.
Stay focused on the podcast. You're making Lan feel like we're not very professional.
Lan's known me for 18 years. I don't think you set professionals the anywhere in there. So, okay. So I think one of the coolest things is, and I'll let Lan introduce herself as well. But I think I wanted Lan on because I made reference to her before. She had a full-time job and was unhappy, left it. And now she does some super cool things that, you know, it's really what Kenny and I talk about a lot on the show in terms of entrepreneurship and like kind of finding your own way. And so I thought it'd be neat to have Lan on the show just to talk about what she does.
Cool.
Yeah. Len, do you want to introduce yourself?
Sure. So, my husband and I are actually both CPAs, so accountants, although we both hated accounting in university. So we kind of fell into it. almost like walking and just falling into a hole, if you can just imagine. That's how we feel about our careers.
And then we
bought our first house in Toronto maybe 14 years ago. And I believe almost every day as we would go to work together, because I would drive him to work, we would say, how do we get out of this 9-to-5 thing? And then what skill do we have to start our own business? We were always talking about, you know, what can we do to start our own business, but we didn't feel like we had any skills. So for years, every morning we would talk about it, but we couldn't come up with anything. But we do both have like this obsession with houses. So every time there's an open house in our neighborhood, we're always there. And somehow we just know our neighborhood so well and what houses sell for and what people are looking for, mm-hmm. that we somehow ended up, we moved a couple times down the street on the same street. And each time we didn't actually sell our house, we rented it out. And somehow I ended up buying a property, and I was going to rent it out. And then I had to fix it up first. And then we rented it out for a year, and then we sold it for, you know, a lot of money. And then I went back to my full-time job after 6 years being off, raising my two children. And then I worked there for, I don't know, 2.5 years, maybe 3, I can't even remember. And then I decided I really want to get out of it. So we bought a property with the intention of maybe moving, maybe renting it out. We really didn't know. And then we fixed it up, and we just sold it like 2 weeks ago. And we did really well. And so now we decided that we are going to be real estate investors.
Well, that's like amazing.
Doing it. Wow.
Yeah.
And so it was kind of unplanned. We kind of fell into it like the way we fell into our career, but we really love doing it because of our house obsession. And actually now my husband is thinking of leaving his full-time job to join me.
Whoa.
Holy, really?
That's amazing.
Wow.
I know. It's kind of crazy.
So this is working. Like you're gonna make a go of this.
Yes. Yes.
Wow.
So I wasn't sure. And actually that's why I kind of talked to Phil, because Phil heard that, you know, I left my job and I was going to talk to Phil about like what to do with my life. And then he kind of encouraged me to do this. And I just thought, oh, this can be a real job. I can actually like do this full time.
Okay. So the disclaimer here is I had heard, you know, Len had left her job and that she was trying to figure out what to do next. And so when I reached out and we were talking, she was like, yeah, I could use guidance. But the truth is, when I met with Len, she didn't really need guidance. Like, she needed some validation, I think. But I think that's what's so amazing is, you know, you say fell into it, but I think you do what most people don't do, which is, you know, you have the sense of what you love. Right. And then you went to try and figure out what that looks like. Right. You know, like the things that Len hasn't filled in. Right. So she has an incredible artistic eye. You know, like having been to, it's actually really confusing for me as a relative too, because you have moved on the same street. And so when we come by, I have no idea whether I went to house one, house two, or whether you're on house 4 or 5, I don't actually know. So, but the house is always like kind of got this amazing sense of design to it. And that's, you know, that's Len, right? So, You know, so
that's,
I think,
pretty impressive. That takes some skill, eh? First off, it takes a lot of nuts, because it's not everybody can do that.
Yeah.
It's ballsy. Yeah. It really is. Because I mean, it's hard to, you know, you don't fall into real estate. You dive in. You're talking some serious coin, right? Like it's not. So you guys, first off, took a chance. You had some guts, and you took a risk and you did it. I mean, that's pretty impressive. That's a lot of commitment, right? It's big money. You're not talking, pennies. It's lots of pennies.
It's true. It does. It's, I mean, to a lot of people, it's very risky. But for us, I mean, for me, it's actually not risky at all. I'm not sure if you guys watched that movie. I forget what it's called. Where the guy climbs out of 10.
Yeah.
You know, and then he says, like, to other people, it seems like he's risking his life. But to him,
he was. That thing, that was insane.
It was. But
that
you
was
know,
so scary to watch.
It was so scary. I almost couldn't watch it.
I couldn't. I was freaking out all the way through it.
But for him, it didn't feel that way because he knows the mountain so well, right? And that's how I kind of feel about this. It's actually, I feel like Erlyn and I are both very risk averse, but I knew that I could make money doing this because I just know the market that well, that I knew there wasn't much of a risk. So
but that in itself is a massive skill set. I know people, there's a lot of people who have lost lots of money on real estate. Right. The only people who make money on real estate really are like, especially people we would know, are you got lucky, or, you know, you got whatever you want to call it, and you bought a house and you hang on to it for a long time. And just by virtue of the real estate is a good long-term investment is how they make their money. Wasn't any skill. Wasn't like they had 3 homes, 4 homes, 5 homes. It wasn't that they did a ton of research. They just bought at the right time, whatever that time was, and were able to hang on long enough. And in the long term, it's almost one of those things you can't lose in real estate. Right. But to buy multiple homes and really know your market that well, most people can't do that. Mm. Honestly, they can't. I know you think it probably comes so naturally to you because you've done it and you got into it. Ask around, ask people that, you know, how, not maybe, you know, but like ask different people how many homes they own. Ask them if they would do this. And I'll tell you right now, 8 out of 10 would love the idea, but would be scared shitless to do it. And wouldn't even know where to start. It'd be so amazing.
I think it's amazing.
I think it's incredible.
I think it's amazing. There's more, though.
Holy.
There's more. There's more to land than there's more to land. Oh, my God.
A real estate guru and more.
No, really, there's more, right? So the other thing, do you want to tell them about the whole driveway? No, oh. What's it called? The
front pad parking.
Yes.
Well, that's a small thing in that. So in
okay, wait. So she's going to explain, but just know she said it's a small thing. Okay. Now explain.
Okay.
Okay. in Toronto, parking is like gold. If my first house, there was no parking. So I always parked on the street and because it was my first house and it was our starter home and we had to buy the cheapest house we could afford in the neighborhood. So, you know, with our next house, we had to spend some more. And my real estate agent was telling me, you know, this house is going to cost you $50,000 to $75,000 more because this house has legal front pad parking. And so I started researching like mad about legal front pad parking and obtaining it is actually not as difficult as people think. I think people are just too lazy to do it. So when we bought our latest property, it didn't have it, and I knew I could get it because I'd already done all the research on how to go through the process and what's involved. And I think a lot of people don't do it because they have to provide a drawing to the city, and I think that's intimidating for people. And so that for me was not difficult because I had picked up AutoCAD and I just drew the front pad parking, you know, to scale and everything. And then I just applied for the permit, but then my real estate agent said, you know, there are people who would pay you for the service. So that's something that I'm looking into doing for people just to.
Oh, I wouldn't do that because everybody AutoCAD.
Yeah. That is the biggest hurdle for people.
Like, seriously. Who is this person, Phil?
Kenny, I'm telling you, this is why I've been talking about her for weeks, right? Like,
come on.
I just
bought AutoCAD and I started drawing. And I'm thinking, who the hell thinks of this shit?
I love it so much.
Oh my God, that's awesome.
So, you know, like, so Len said, it's not a big deal. And then she was like, I just picked up AutoCAD. You know, like,
yeah, sure, only, I just do that every day. Oh, but we always use AutoCAD.
Yeah, people only go through school to get trained on AutoCAD and still can't use it right. But Len just picked it up on the side. So.
Well, I was just playing with it this morning. I had nothing else to do before the news. Hey, let's just go fart around with AutoCAD. You're hilarious.
Off of 3 YouTube videos. Like,
That's not a skill set. I mean, yeah, you're just normal. Oh my God, that's awesome.
Drawing for me is, you know, kind of fun and a hobby. So that's what I like to do. Erilyn and I are just so obsessed with houses that I actually learned AutoCAD when I was trying to design our renovations, and so I needed to figure out how to draw floor plans, and so I kind of picked it up over the years and I started drawing floor plans for our house. So, you know, it was not something I learned overnight, actually. It was just something that I slowly learned in time, and I just never really noticed that I was learning it.
So how much value can you add to a house by doing this?
Just by getting a legal front pad parking if it didn't already have one, that's between $50,000 to $80,000.
Fuck. This is totally sellable, man. Are you kidding? Like, you'd have real estate agents just, I mean, that's a lot of commission money to them.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like homeowners.
Yeah.
I mean, I put every for sale sign on the street, I'd probably go up to and say, hey, do you want to add $50,000 to your house?
There's more to it. I mean, the drawing is one thing you need to submit, and then, but you actually have to go door to door and ask your neighbors to sign a piece of paper saying that they'll allow you.
Yeah, but if I can get $50,000 to $75,000 more in my house, and someone's going to do all the work, I just got to go knock on the neighbors' doors.
Yeah.
Shit, I'll knock all day.
Yeah.
That's a lot of money.
It is. It is. So it's, and I really think that the door knocking is not what scares people. I think it's just like, oh, what, you know, I got to get that drawing and I don't know who to
put. But that's the great sellable part.
Yeah.
You know, you know, if you took a 10% commission on it even or whatever, I don't care what the number is. You know, that's a lot of money to you. It's a massive amount of money to the person who's trying to sell the home. That's a wicked service.
I think, and what's so amazing about that is, you know, learning it for yourself already paid for, you know, like if you were to go back, you know, so for whatever it's worth, right? And you said you didn't really realize you were learning AutoCAD, but if you went back and tried to quantify like what it cost you in time to, you know, time invested to learn about this process, getting your own front parking pad paid for that already. And now it's like, it's not a, every one that you do is incremental to over and above, which is really amazing, right? Like it's not like
part of it, right?
You know, it's not like you're only going to make, you know, you're going to invest half and you're going to get half back. It's literally like every time, you know, if you only sell 3 of these, right? Like you've incrementally made money out of it. Like there's no extra investment on your part, right? Which is really cool, I think.
I think it's awesome, man.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'm also not done yet. Because this is so amazing. Like it was so fascinating. Like it's funny too, because Len and I are, you know, we're relatives and so we spend a ton of time, you know, talking about the kids and everything. But I think having lunch with Len was probably one of the first moments that we've had where we've actually connected and talked about not necessarily the kids, but like everything else, right? And so I was kind of floored by it. Len has this other amazing hobby that I was all over. Do you want to tell them about your home? Listeners already know that I love like the Internet of Things. You know, I love, you know, all the things that like home systems can bring and internet connectivity and all that kind of stuff, Lens kind of like turned me into a lightweight. So I'll let her explain.
Actually, it started with our other cousin, Jenny's house. I went into her house in Mississauga, and her husband automated all these things. And I just thought, wow, this is so cool.
Yeah.
And I got to do that. But I didn't intend to go take it as far as I did. It was just that my daughters don't turn off the lights when they leave the basement. And I'll come down like a day later and realize my lights have been on all day. And I'm a very environmentally friendly, very conscious person about, you know, saving energy. So it just drove me crazy. So then when I saw his house and how the lights go on and off on its own, I'm like, I need to do this to my house. So it started off with just a motion sensor switch. But then I kind of took it a little further when we got a Google Home. Erlen's office gave it to him. And then our home actually came with the Arlo camera system. And then so then I started connecting all these devices. And then I started, you know, reading up about how to connect it. And then I'm a little bit of a security freak because Erlen's mother got robbed many years ago. Mm-hmm. So I started doing these home security things like Phil mentioned before, when I leave the house, I will have the lights go on and off if it's at nighttime to make it look like someone's in a room and leaving a room. And it's random. And then I started just doing things like having the radio go on sometimes during the day and then off again. And then it's kind of an obsession that now I just keep taking it a little further.
Oh, you're so funny.
Kenny, isn't she amazing?
Oh, like you are just a hoot, man. Yeah,
I love
my God.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's fun. So when we're on vacation, I get notified if there's, you know, not when there's motion in the backyard, but if there's motion in the backyard and then the door opens while we're gone, I'll get a little message saying your door was open while you were on vacation and stuff like that. And it's really neat.
That's awesome.
So it's funny, right? Because it imagine me having lunch with her. We're talking about all these things. The house thing in itself is already amazing.
I am such a loser. Then, like I feel then, so
right?
and small then, right now.
And then this front parking pad. And then I was telling her that I was telling Lynn that I think the beauty of all of this is like, you know, Len, you see simplicity in all of this, right? Because it makes sense to you. You took time to learn it. But I think the beauty in all of the things that you do is people just don't understand the things that you understand. And so, like, the front pad thing, you know, it could be extremely – it could be a limited time lucrative. Like, maybe you know – You do it for your street, right? And maybe that's like four or five houses, and then, you know, maybe the secret's out, and then you know you're done with it. But it's quite lucrative. And then I think the security thing, it's you know, like there's so many people with Google Minis out there, Google Homes out there, that just have no idea what they're doing, right? Like I'm easily 10 steps behind you.
Oh Christ, and, I'm 100. I mean, I'd be the perfect one.
But you know what I'm saying? Like,
it wasn't going to be unreasonable and you could
just,
I would just, go man, light it up.
Yeah. And I think, you know, like, so I just think it's really funny because Len dropped all this on my plate and kind of went, you know, I don't know if I should go look for a full-time job or, you know, I was like, what are you, crazy? Like you have all these amazing things. Like who cares? Like,
job. Who cares? What are you talking about? Oh my Lord.
Yeah. Well,
the funny thing is, I feel like all of it is done to be lazy.
You know? That's what we are.
Like I have we go snowboarding every, I don't know, Saturday or Sunday in the wintertime. And then, so I said, and then it's a pain to go on your phone to turn off the heat so that it's ready for you when you come home. I mean, it's nice that you could do it from your phone, but it's so much easier if you set your phone so that if you enter a certain radius of your house on every Sunday, that the heat goes on, you know, half an hour before you come home, so that when you come home, the heat's already on. And it's a matter of a few clicks. And so I feel like all of this stuff is just born out of laziness.
Okay.
Okay. So, and the other thing is, Len, that's the longest I've ever heard Kenny be quiet ever.
I don't even know what to say. You know what it is? I would love to do shit like this. You know what it is? Spend the time.
Yeah.
I don't even know where to start. And then you know what? You know me. I'm just going to get angry and frustrated. Yeah. And I'm just going to find somebody and they're going to say, listen, it's going to cost you this. What do you think? I'm going to say, just go ahead. I don't want to learn it.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not easy to do stuff. First off, you got to have the thought to do it. And don't kid yourself. Not everybody has thoughts on a good day. Never mind thoughts like what you have. And then to execute, you mean, wow.
Yeah.
It work. Yeah. Work. Jeez.
Yeah. 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 So I know, this is why I wanted Lynn on the show, right? She's just,
that is so cool.
Yeah. So talented. So cool. So smart.
You are just a smarty pants. Look at you. That's crazy, man.
And Lynn, I think it's important to note now that
it's obviously on the wife's side, right, Phil?
Yeah.
You're not like
definitely
this.
On the wife's side. Yeah. Yeah. But, you know, Kenny used to come to me for technical things. I think I've been replaced.
Oh, so man, you're done.
You should, at the end of this podcast, just give Kenny your phone number.
Except you don't want me calling you. You don't want me bugging me. I don't know squat. That's awesome. Like, I mean, good for you. I mean, these are all such, I mean, wow. They're such cool things. Like, they're so, it's all sellable. It's all marketable. It's all, you can monetize any of this easily. And whether you want or not is always another story. You don't have to. But wow.
Can I ask? So I'll ask it, and then if you're not comfortable to answer, you don't have to answer. Because I think the other thing is really neat. So Errol, you reference Errolyn, Errolyn's Len's husband. You know, you're this first business about getting into the house business, and then Errolyn, you know, looking to leave his job so that he can join you full time. What do you mind walking through kind of high level, you know, how, like, what kind of risk, you know, assessment you did, or whether you did one, or how you guys arrived there? Because I think one of the things with our listeners is, you know, a lot of them are folks that either have done jobs for a very long time and need a switch, or would like to switch, have no idea how to switch. I think you're the perfect example of someone who followed things that she loved and then found practical, you know, commercialized ways to follow her passion. But I'm curious, that part, risk is a huge part of making changes. How did you guys go about talking about that, or trying to figure out whether it's, you know, when, how, what that risk looks like?
So I think, like I said, we've been talking about leaving our full-time job for 14 years. So it's not like...
It didn't sneak up on you.
Surprise!
So it was kind of after we made money on our first house, we said, okay, that's great. And then it was this latest project that just sold.
Mm-hmm.
And we were really scared, you know, up to the offer night. So in Toronto, you have an offer night where you put your house on the market, and about a week later, you take offers and you hope for multiple offers. And it's buzzing again.
Yeah, it's buzzing.
Wait, what's buzzing again?
Headphones or whatever. It's gone.
I'm not doing anything. Maybe this time it's just my magnetic personality.
Possibly.
Sorry, I lost my train of thought.
Offer night.
Yeah, offer night came and we had four offers, and you know, the house sold for a good amount of money. And that's when we kind of said, okay, this is, you know, you know, we think we have a handle on this now because it's okay. not our first transaction. And yeah, it made him comfortable enough to say, I think we can do this. And so that's kind of when he decided to, he's going to leave his job.
Wow.
In a couple months time, actually.
Yeah. And then
it's all good for you. I mean, that's wow. It takes a lot of guts. I mean, it's not easy to quit.
Mm-mm. Yeah. And so I think of it like a startup, right? So do you guys kind of have, do you do any work around, you know, like, did you think about runway or like what you need to do as your next project, how big the project needs to be to land so you guys can keep doing what you're doing? Or not everyone does that, right? Like I think lots of people jump into it and just know that it's going to work out. But I think I'm just trying to draw a picture for listeners so they kind of understand.
Yes.
Yeah.
So we do know our market really well. Okay. We know the, you know, the houses, what people are looking for. I have a really good friend who's my real estate agent, and we started working with her, I don't know, 4 years ago. Mm-hmm. And she just has such a good handle on what people are looking for in our neighborhood that she tells me, you know, she tells me this is what you have to give. People want this many bedrooms, this many bathrooms, and this many rooms on their first floor. And so I just follow what she tells me the market wants, and I give them exactly the house that they want. So we built these houses based on what is lacking in the neighborhood. So 3 bedrooms are easy to find in the neighborhood. I built the 4-bedroom houses, and and it's also the taste. Everything has to be what the buyers are looking for in a house. So that was the biggest and scariest part. I am the designer, so I was really scared that I had built a house that is something that I love but nobody else likes.
Fair.
That's always the fear. So you're talking build, like contract, like full blown construction.
Yes. It's so on the last house we built, it was almost completely gutted, not completely. And then we built a 12-foot extension in the rear. Wow. So took out the whole back wall and built an extension for the basement, first floor and second floor.
And you're designing all this and doing all the, I mean, you're doing the drawings, not maybe the structural drawings and that, but you're.
That's right. So there would be a structural engineer to do the structural drawings, but I'm designing where the bedrooms are. And, you know, so my agent would say the bedrooms all have to be equally sized because a lot of the problems in this neighborhood are some bedrooms are really small. And she mm-hmm. says people want equally sized bedrooms. That's
but
what
you didn't do that much research, Len. Honestly, I know builders. I mean, we built our own house.
I mean, oh wow!
Nobody does these things like that much detail, right? Especially when you start talking like, you know, more of a renovation as opposed to like, you know, a knockdown, you know, get the backhoe in, remove, dig hole. Like it's harder to do renovation because you're working around structure that's already there. So when you're, you know, manipulating all that and managing all that, holy crow!
The contractor was really great. The one that I chose. And there was a premium paid for that, but I felt it was worth it.
Whatever.
Because, yeah, it takes away some of the variables, like, you know, things
trust
being.
Trust me, I know.
Yeah. So, you know, there were decisions in regards to that, paying more for a contractor that we could trust, things like that.
Do you worry about not, do you worry about supply? So do you worry about not finding, your next house that you'd want to be able to take down and put up again?
No, because the houses in this neighborhood are 100 years old, and there are tons of people slowly moving out. Okay. There are a lot of elderly people, and as they decide to move out, their houses are usually haven't been renovated for like 50 years. So we do have to be patient, but I am not worried about the supply.
Okay.
Yeah. And the market's just really good right now.
That's really amazing.
I think it's just cool all the way around. I mean,
yeah,
I think that's really cool.
Yeah, it's really cool, and I think my
real estate agent, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
Because we were looking at a place that I'd like to do as a rental, and I'm thinking, screw this. I'm just going to email him. So I just did.
Oh my God, you're hilarious.
Well, what the hell, right? Now I'm motivated. I'm not as smart, but I can definitely get motivated.
Oh my gosh. No, I love it. I love it. Yeah. And I think like, so of all the things I love that you're doing, Len, like I think the one that I keep coming back to is, you know, whether you did it on purpose or not, is you really like, you know, you found something you love, right? Because you love the drawing and the art of it, of everything, right? But you were able to find, you know, like a practical outlet for it, right? Like, because I think that is always a problem, because people always say, you know, find what you love, but, you know, like what you love isn't...
The bonus thing is, Phil, is that she did it.
Yeah.
Right? It's not that you find something you love and you get excited and, you know, you make it into a game.
Yeah.
You go and do it.
Yeah.
You know, and, you know, in all fairness, I mean, we got to criticize her somewhere in this mess. You know, took her 14 years. Here, there's your knock.
Well,
you know what I mean? Like, you know, it's not that you had to hunt for a passion and, you know, you follow your passion nonsense, which can lead people into problems too, because there's a lot of really cool passions, things I love to do
that are completely impractical, right?
Exactly. Yeah, it'd be a disaster.
Yeah.
But to find something that, you know, financially, there's lots of risk in this. There really is. I mean, markets go up and down. You can get hung with houses. Long term, you're probably okay. But, you know, in the short term, if you can't manage, you could get burned pretty badly. Yep. To do that and to be able to think it through and to be able to walk it, I mean, wow.
Yeah. It's pretty amazing.
Good for you, man. Like, seriously.
Yeah.
Oh, we also had a plan B. You know, to help it and sell. We knew how much we could rent it for, and it would have covered our carrying costs. So it really wasn't as big of a risk as it seems.
Still though, I got to remember those variables all tie into different things too, right? You hit a downturn in the economy, people lose jobs. Those risks can all play.
Yeah.
Like those are all models that work when things are going great. But downturns can cause problems, right?
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, you're not getting that rent that makes that payment and et cetera, et cetera. So again, it's all calculated risks. And you still have to nut up and do it. It's pretty impressive. Like I always find it fascinating when people can do this. Because it's probably stuff that I always wish we could do. But, you know, I mean, I can take some risks, but I mean, I find these ones to be big risks. And I just find it amazing that, you know, I mean, good for you.
Yeah. 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 I love it. Okay. So we're kind of at the end of this.
I got phone calls to make, Phil.
I know.
It's only 8:42 in BC. I got to phone my agent.
I know. My goodness. Len, thank you for staying up to join us. I'm excited that you got on the show. I think what you're doing is absolutely amazing, and I'm even more floored that Erlyn's going to join you and do it. I think it's all amazing. Do you have any social handles? Like, do you want people to be able to find you?
I don't.
Okay. So Penny and I like that more, because then you have to come through us.
Everybody should come through us, Phil. Don't tell Len what you're up to. You don't have to share everything. She's family. You don't have to be that close. We will manage this.
Well, Phil, I only came to the decision, like, I just quit my job in July. So it's still really new to me. So I haven't figured it all out yet.
I think you figured out more, my dear, than you think you figured out.
I love it.
That's awesome.
Yeah, no, what I love treat. All of it. But
that was really nice.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me.
Yeah. And then I think if you're up for it, you know, kind of like 6 or 8 months down the road, we'd love to have you on again just to see how things are going.
Yeah, I would love to hear what's going on.
I think the listeners would, I think everyone would definitely want to know. And then I think, you know, listeners out there, if you have any comments, questions for Len, throw them at This Commerce Life and then I'll make sure she gets them.
Yeah, pretty impressive. I mean, good for you, Len. I mean, honestly, that's awesome.
Thank you.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Okay, Philly, we're pretty insignificant once again in our lives.
I know. That's
great. I'm glad you did that. I'm sitting in a hotel room all by myself and feeling just very down. Thanks, man.
Oh. All right, that's it. Thanks, Len.
Thank you.
That was awesome. Thank you very much. Nice meeting you.
Nice meeting you, Kenny. Bye.
Okay, ciao.
All right, that's the end of This Commerce Life. We'll be back soon with the next episode. Thank you for joining us. We hope you enjoyed it. Give us feedback. Tell us what you think. Subscribe, like us, join us, share us, tell your friends about us. And we hope to see you next time with more commerce news.